forget Barbara Walters and her belief was the Messiah. Friends, it's time to get ready. People, get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon we'll be coming home. The first time he came to save us from our sin, and the second time he's coming to judge the world in righteousness. Wow. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Please send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Judeo-Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or disillusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, supporters of the station you're listening to. But they have to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Linda Ligerman, and she's certainly is an associate clinical professor at the University of California in San Francisco, a bio alma mater. She is a commissioner of a group. It's a commission dealing with human rights, and of course she is a licensed a psychologist. She's spending her time now trying to really reveal some of the things that are going on behind the scenes, having a profound impact upon the drugging of the American people. And we're going to be talking about a number of things tonight, among them specifically a DVD, which my wife and I just recently watched. It's going into the background of what they are doing with our military and the actual drugging of the military. Dr. Ligerman, thank you very much for being with us, and you pick up the story from there.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for having me, and I love your show and the description of it in terms of the reality versus illusion. And sometimes it is very hard for people to actually confront reality. And this is one of those situations. Both what, we'll start with is the situation with the increase in psychiatric drugs in the military and the consequences of that. But then this is a broader story also about the unprecedented influence that the pharmaceutical industry of psychiatry has in our country now. You know, the alliance of psychiatry and pharmaceutical industry is the most powerful force in our culture now.
And I think one of the biggest things is the amount of drugs, psychiatric drugs, yes, that are given to the public, given to our children.
That's right.
And they're having a profound impact on the minds of our people. And a lot of these drugs do a great deal of harm. And we see a lot of violence. We see a lot of killing. And
then,
of course, when we begin to look at the background of some of these drugs, we find out that these drugs actually can stimulate violence and killing and suicidal tendencies. But you pick up the story.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one thing that the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, that I'm the commissioner on that, has been on this story since 1969, actually. But the drugs, first let's kind of look at how we got here. You know, right now, one in five Americans, it's hard to believe, but one in five Americans is on a psychiatric drug right now. And how did we get there? The pharmaceutical industry lobbied Congress, and in 1997, Congress allowed direct-to-consumer advertising of psychiatric drugs. And the former chair of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which is kind of the billing Bible that psychiatry uses, he said that the pharmaceutical industry learned that to sell a drug, you need to sell a diagnosis. And so pharmaceutical industry has tremendous influence over the diagnoses, which a lot of people assume that those are scientifically based in that manual of diagnostic and statistical manual, but they're actually voted on. And 70% of the panel are directly linked with the pharmaceutical industry. I hear your music. That sounds like we're going to go for a break.
Well, we're going to go to a break, but I think it's important for people to understand that the physician really doesn't understand much about what's going on. When he goes to a meeting, well, they have speakers usually employed by the psychiatric,
that's right,
or by the industries. Certainly, they read the articles in the medical magazines, which are financed by the drug companies. They
that's
have
right.
the detailed people come to their office to tell them about this wonderful new drug or that one. And, of course, these people all work
right.
at the drug companies. The doctor doesn't have time to go into the scientific literature. He's too busy filling out government paperwork. As a result, he's using a lot of drugs that have far more danger than good. We'll be back
right.
in a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782.
And the winner of fallback pricing is you. The results are in from Freeze Dry Guy's You Be the Boss, Tell Us What You Want Us to Put on Sale campaign. After getting phone calls, emails, blog, and Facebook comments, nominating your favorite freeze-dried foods and dehydrated food, you the people, you the bosses have spoken. We the staff at Freeze Dry Guy have listened, as we've done since 1970. So now, one item and one entire line of food are on special sale until the end of October. The entire line of popular non-GMO and gluten-free foods are 20% off. The Family First Responders Kit, loaded with delicious freeze-dried foods like hearty beef stew, lasagna, and mouth-watering strawberries, is roughly 30% off. Go to freezedryguy.com, that's freezedryguy.com, to order or call 866-404-363, 866-404-FOOD, and make your own deal. Thank you, boss.
Stan, and certainly our guest is Dr. Linda Legerman, and we're talking about certainly the drugging of the American public, and she's pointing out that certainly one in every five Americans is on a psychiatric drug, and the trouble is that one in every five children are on a psychiatric drug, and some of these children, or they actually begin, are treating them shortly after they're born, and an awful lot of them are on drugs before they're even 1 year of age. And what effect do these drugs have, not only temporarily, but permanently, on the minds, on the brains, on the tissues of these children? And that's the frightening thing. And as I
yeah.
say, go right ahead.
Well, the antipsychotic medications, which are commonly now being given to children for ADHD, are being given to all age groups for depression. which is, again, this is something that's kind of shocking. And people, when they're given these drugs, they're not told that these are antipsychotics. These are drugs that were originally meant for people hearing voices and having delusions and, you know, complete breaks with reality. Drugs like Abilify, Seroquel, these are antipsychotics. And those drugs specifically shrink brain tissue. The largest data set of brain images was done. I think it was thousands of brain images, and they showed the shrinking of brain tissue, and the higher the dose, the more brain tissue was lost. So that's profound, and that's causing disability, and that's being given to children and all age groups. I actually just got the latest issue of Psychology Today came in the mail to me, and on the front cover, where usually you have highlighted articles, you know, the key articles in the magazine, there's a big circle that says, on resolve depressive symptoms, learn about a treatment for depression on page 43. So I turn to page 43, and it's a full-page ad for Abilify, an antipsychotic. And it doesn't tell you it's an antipsychotic. It just has a cute cartoon saying, oh, your antidepressant worked hard for you, but maybe it's not enough, and you could be helped by Abilify. So, you know, we're kind of covering a lot of things here all at once. I do think it's important for, you know, to set the groundwork and let people know they're being marketed to heavily, and there's some things that they may not even realize are marketing. Like, if you asked your average person what causes depression or bipolar disorder, they would say that it's the chemical imbalance in the brain. And they would think they know that, but that is actually not true. It's false. It was a marketing campaign, and it's been an extremely successful marketing campaign because most of your primary care doctors believe the same thing. There is no such thing as a chemical imbalance of the brain. Until you start putting in mind-altering drugs, then you're altering chemistry. But it's not true. There's nothing you can do. Like, you know, if you have diabetes, you can test your insulin level, your blood sugar, whatever, and you know what the normal range is, and the doctor can tell you that. There's no such thing for depression. There's no serotonin shortage that requires an SSRI to artificially raise the serotonin level. So that's a marketing thing, and it's important for people to know that's marketing, and the diagnoses are marketing, not the struggles themselves. I want to be clear that people do have problems, but once you call it a mental disorder, you are, by language, you are constricting people's thinking. They're no longer problem-solving it. Once you call it a disorder, they're thinking pill, that there's a medication to treat it. And with ADHD, there's one study that was just a couple of months ago came out and showed that a lot of kids that are diagnosed with ADHD are sleep-deprived. And this is a very challenging thing for parents, especially for homes where two parents are working, to get a regular bedtime. But when they took these kids and they put them on a regular sleep schedule, the symptoms went away. Nutrition is another factor. There are lots of things that you could problem solve, but those are being bypassed, and kids are being given, actually, amphetamine, because the ADHD drugs are stimulants. They're amphetamines. And we're getting a bunch of kids addicted to amphetamines very young. You know, most parents or teachers would never think of giving a kid, you know, amphetamine if they got it from a kid in a hoodie, you know, on the street corner. But just because it came from a doctor in a white coat doesn't mean it's not an amphetamine. It still is an amphetamine. It's a Schedule II controlled substance. In the same category of highly addictive as cocaine and morphine. So that's what's going on with the language. So we're diagnosing things, we're calling things a disorder, it leads to drugs, we've got direct-to-consumer advertising that's telling everybody that to rethink about their struggles and think of them in terms of disorders and pills, and that's led to everybody being drugged, and that has led to increases in addiction, increases in chronic conditions. You know, depression used to be something that somebody had a bout with, and then it went away. And now, people are seen as lifelong depressed and on antidepressants for their life. They're lifelong customers. The disability rates, the Social Security Administration disability rates, I just recently updated my data on that, going on, doing a search on just the Social Security Administration website. And the disability rates are climbing for adults and for children, in concert with the increase in psychiatric drugging. You know, just the stimulant sales for children for ADHD, those are a $9 billion annual sale for the stimulant. So there's big money involved here. Now, kind of going back to the military, which is what we started with, the Citizens Commission on Human Rights' newest documentary called The Hidden Enemy, that looks at the history and the current situation of the psychiatric drugs of our military that have served, are serving our country. Just from 2005 to 2011, the Department of Defense increased by 682% the amount of prescriptions, psychiatric prescriptions they were giving, which is at a rate 30 times faster than in the general population. And the result is there's an epidemic of suicide in our soldiers and in our vets. And it's tragic. There's an epidemic of suicide, and there are an incredible number of sudden deaths just from the drug cocktails that these soldiers are being put on.
And I think it's important for people to understand that many of these drugs actually encourage suicide. They have some
That's
effect
right.
on the brain, and they actually increase the suicide rate
right.
directly related to the medication they're being given.
That is absolutely true. They increase suicide. Every one of the antidepressants, every one of them, has a black box warning label about the that it increases suicidality. And it particularly increases suicidality in people under age 24, which most of our military are under age 24.
And I think another thing which most people don't talk about is the fact that it actually increases incidence of violence.
Yes.
You see so many of these shootings around the country, whether it would be in Columbine or wherever
right.
it would be, Sandy Hook. And these people invariably, almost invariably, fully 90% of them are on some sort of a psychiatric drug. And the question is, did they commit the crime because they were... and this terrible act of violence, because, of course, they had a psychiatric problem, or did they commit it because they were taking a psychiatric
right.
drug that promoted this
right.
thought process? And I rather suspect when you see there's so many of this, you never see this mentioned in the media. Oh, no,
That's
it's
right.
the guns. We got to take the guns away from the people. They never suggest maybe we ought to be taking the psychiatric medication away from these people that is doing far more harm than good.
Oh, completely. Completely. You're very on to this issue. Yeah. They actually, I'm pretty sure every one of those shootings, the school shootings, like the Navy Yard shooting, every one of them where they have revealed the toxicology, they have been on psychiatric drugs or in the withdrawal phase of psychiatric drugs. Now, some of them, they won't reveal the information. But those drugs, again, are well documented to increase not only suicidality, but violence. So, and it is used by people to get on the bandwagon and say, oh, we've got to get rid of guns. And whatever your view is on gun control, it's these situations, you have documented FDA warnings, lots of other countries, drug regulatory agency warnings about violence, increasing in violence, and all these shootings are linked to psych drugs or withdrawal from psych drugs. So it's not, you know how people used to say, like, oh, guns don't kill people, people kill people, something like that? And I would say it's not, guns don't kill people. People on psych drugs kill people and withdrawing from them.
And I think that's just an important point, and yet you'll never see that mentioned on ABC, CBS, and NBC, because they already tie in together. The psychiatric industry, the media, and just so many of the things going on today are all aimed basically at disarming the American people and never simply pointing out the relationship between these psychiatric drugs and violence and murder and suicide.
You know, you're mentioning you don't see this on TV, and that's absolutely right, because part of that, I mean, there's, we could look at what's really going on here, but part of that is those stations depend on the pharmaceutical ads. They get a huge amount of money from the pharmaceutical companies, so they'll never put any of this on the regular station.
Well, our guest, of course, is Dr. Linda Ligerman, and we're talking about basically the dangers of psychiatric drugs. And basically, of course, the organizations that she works with have been putting out some excellent DVDs, and we're going to be talking about those when we get back here. But basically, these drugs certainly have had a profound impact on our military. And one of the frightening things is that a number of people within the military who are actually taking these psychiatric drugs, and of course, the permanent effect it can have on many of their lives.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy Aging Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, Call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
To Stan, and suddenly we're talking about the use of psychiatrics in the military. And since the year 2005, the use of psychiatric drugs in the military has gone up 682%. Let me repeat that. Since 2005, 2006, the use of psychiatric drugs in the military has gone up suddenly 682%. And basically, you have far more chance of certainly of dying of the effect of the psychiatric drugs than you have of being shot by the military. By the enemy, you have more danger of being dying from the use of psychiatric drugs in the military than you do being shot by the enemy. And basically, of course, when you go to the psychologist, a psychiatrist, you're a soldier, and they, what do? They say you talk to you for a couple of minutes, and they give you a medication or two medications. And basically, we have so many of our military who are on psychiatric medication today, and this has in many instances destroyed their lives. And this this DVD that I had an opportunity of watching, and it was called The Hidden Enemy. Very, very well done. And they just interview literally dozens and dozens of military personnel who've been placed on these psychiatric drugs and simply destroyed and disrupted their lives. Go right ahead.
Yeah, and, the statistics I just want to make sure all the listeners got was, with that increase in the psychiatric drugs and it destroying their lives, it is destroying their families' lives, that since 2006, the rise in violent sex crime and domestic violence in the military went up 30%, and child abuse within the military families went up 43%. So the psych drugs are, altering them. They are called mind-altering drugs. Psychotropic means mind-turning. They are mind-altering drugs. So this is the effect. Yes, you alter somebody's mind, you're changing their judgment, their feelings, everything, and you then have increase in violence and child abuse that's ruining the family.
And the thing is that this is not being publicly discussed, but our military, and of course, one of the things in this DVD, and it's a very, I think, very important DVD, and it's entitled The Hidden Enemy. It goes into the fact that our military has been used to experiment on, and the drug companies, knowingly, doctors within the military, have used the military personnel experimentally, and they've certainly given them psychiatric drugs initially just to see what sort of response that have, and in many instances, had devastating effect on these people. Yeah. But when you're in the military, you do what you're told to do. And when our leaders are subservient to the politicians who are subservient to the drug company and want to test a drug, they test them on our military personnel, which is why I hate to say, but I do not think that any person who values their life or the value of a person in their family should allow that person to go into the military, because, of course, we have people in positions of power there who have a different set of moral values and think nothing at all about experimenting on our healthy young men.
Yeah, and these are, these are our elite. These are, some in the documentary, there's a guy who's a Navy SEAL, and the psych drugs just were ruining him. But these are people who have, dedicated themselves to some high ideals, and their trust has been betrayed when they are used to experiment with, in the old days, LSD and all kinds of far worse, actually, things that would amount to torture if you looked at it. And now it's the psychiatric drug. I think, like I said, like looking at what's it doing to take this such a large group, it's the larger than any industry, the military, and to routinely drug them and create this amount of disability of these young, healthy, kind of elite people. It is a form of control.
Well, it is not good medicine. It is certainly using them for experimental animals. You could do it with rats, you could do it with the soldiers, and it's a lot cheaper to do it with the soldiers. And this is what they're doing. And basically, this DPD, the hidden, going into the background, the the hidden enemy, I think is an excellent DVD. I just finished watching it. Dr. Legerman had actually sent that to us, so we had an opportunity to go through it. And when you realize, of course, a lot of the original experimentation with LSD was done on our military, they wanted to see what it would do to them, so they just took these unsuspecting soldiers, gave them the LSD, and many of them, because they had psychiatric breakdown, some of them never came out of it. And basically, ladies and gentlemen, when they use our military for that purpose, why, of course, I do not believe that. I would not want my son going into that sort of a situation, because you never know, of course, when your son is going to be utilized for this, because we have some terribly immoral people in positions of control in our military today. Tragically, it's true. We'll be back in a moment here.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782. Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
This is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Dr. Linda Logerman, and she's an associate clinical professor at the University of California in San Francisco. She's a commissioner on the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, and she's really sort of spending her time now trying to get people to understand the terrible dangers, certainly, that we face. Now, she says and points out that many people will say, look, I'm taking a psychiatric drug, and it's really saved my life. I feel so much better. But she points out that in controlled, double-blind controlled studies where they used placebo, well over 30%, 32% of the people who took the sugar pill actually felt better. They really felt it made them so much better. They convinced themselves of it, and they did feel better. So basically, a lot of the studies show that these psychiatric drugs really are not effective. In fact, one of the really clinical studies really show when they compare them between placebos and between the psychiatric drugs, what percentage of these drugs really do have an effect on people?
Well, no, the outcomes are really bad, actually. So I'll tell you, just because one that people usually focus on is, they say, when somebody's schizophrenic, you know, hearing voices and that kind of a, where they're so stuck on something that they're not in reality. So that's one where people say, oh, you know, in that situation, you got to give them, you know, medication. An antipsychotic must help. And the fact is, it actually doesn't. There's a long-term study. It was 8 years, quite an extensive study done by the World Health Organization. And they compared developing countries and developed countries. So they compared Nigeria, Colombia, India were the developing countries they looked at, and U.S., U.K., Denmark, Japan, Ireland, these are some of the developed countries. And what they found on 2-year follow-up, 5-year follow-up, you know, it was an 8-year study, was that a schizophrenia patient is far better off in Nigeria than in the U.S. or the other developed countries where we have our fancy pharmaceuticals. And it was almost a flip, an opposite situation. At the 2-year follow-up, 64% of the schizophrenia patients in Nigeria with no medication were recovered and had what were called good social outcomes. And in the developed countries, the U.S., 65% were actively psychotic while they were taking their antipsychotic medication. That's extreme. And that, when that was first done, that the first round of that 8-year study was done in the 70s, late 60s and 70s. You know, the pharmaceutical industry didn't like the outcome. The American Psychiatric Association didn't like the outcome. They said, you must have done something wrong. So the World Health Organization replicated the study in the 90s, came up with the same result, and they concluded that their wording was, that living in a developed country is a strong predictor that a schizophrenia patient will never fully recover. So that's about antipsychotics. Now, there are other factors, of course, you know, comparing the cultures, and but the, you know, the dominant feature here is whether you're drugging the person or not.
Have you ever looked into the background of the relationship between nutrition and and schizophrenia, and the fact that if you put people onto certainly a fruit and vegetable diet, you can alter their mental function?
I haven't looked at that one, but I know that nutrition is a strong factor, and I've read some things about some of the B vitamins relating to psychotic disorders. So nutrition, definitely. You have some data on this?
Well, I do. I have a very good friend. I don't know. Dr. Russell Blaylock, who writes the Blaylock Wellness Report. I've known Russell for 30 years. He's a retired neurosurgeon. Uh-huh. But well, we could talk to you about it off air. But basically, they had done psychiatric studies with people, schizophrenics, and they'd put them onto basically fruit and vegetable diet for several months. They all cleared, completely cleared. They put them back on a regular diet. The schizophrenia came back again. So what did the mental hospitals do? They continued the regular diet and not the, but basically there is dramatic improvement in some of these people. Well, it was universal in this one study.
Yeah.
And I know Blaylock to be an honest individual, but this is something we never talk about.
Yeah.
We talk about what pill will we take.
Yeah.
And there are literally hundreds of them out there. Fabulous amounts of money are put out, but unfortunately it's not helping the people.
No, it's increasing disability. We have many more people on SSI, Social Security income for mental disability. And since the increase in the drugging of children, which really came on the scene in the 80s with the ADHD diagnosis, once that got coined and labeled, there's been a rise. There didn't used to be children on disability for a mental illness. And there are now, actually, I haven't updated the data, but from I think it was 2010 or something, there were like 700,000 kids on permanent disability for a mental illness. And then, of course, the rates for adults have been climbing also. The antidepressants cause disability. The longer somebody's on an antidepressant, when you do the outcome studies, you do follow-ups, the longer somebody's on an antidepressant, the more and more disabled they get. They stop functioning. They stop job. They stop volunteering. They stop. There's what they call role cessation, where they just quit doing the usual things they were doing. This is on an antidepressant. Those that were never put on an antidepressant, even though they came in presenting with the same symptom, they recover and they stay recovered. It's you know, there's so many studies on this now, just across the board. The psych drugs are causing disability, but it creates more and more business. And that's the thing. There are no cures. There's no science behind it. There's no evidence that psychiatric drugs stop suicide, but we have lots of evidence that they increase suicide. We have even FDA warnings about that, and we have statistics that show that. So, and with all of that, yet there's people are told, well, you need a second drug, you need a third drug, you need a fourth drug, you need a tenth drug. More and more drugging.
And this whole story is so really incredible. Would you like to get your website, or if you have a website? Or
no, what story? I missed the first word you said.
Well, I just wondered if you would like to put out a website or so people know how they could get your material.
Yeah, I definitely want people to know the Citizens Commission on Human Rights website, because they can go there and they can even watch the DVDs there. They could order some, but they can watch it for free on the website. So that's CCHR.org. For Citizens Commission on Human Rights, CCHR.org, and then CCHRINT.org for CCHR International. Both of those websites have an incredible amount of information and lots of free material also.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Dr. Legerman, why, of course, give us a call. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-295. But this is really a scourge. I mean, one in five Americans, one in five children are on these drugs, and there's really no scientific studies that show they work, and they do a great deal of harm. And so these, you go back and look up the background of the young people that get and so many of these killings, and I think probably this is correct that they almost all have been on these psychiatric drugs. And the question is, did they commit the crimes because they were on the psychiatric drugs, or is it the taking psychiatric drugs trying to get better? Well, they weren't getting better. And if you look at the statistics, you find that these people on the psychiatric drugs, many more of them commit suicide, and many more of them commit criminal activity than the average citizen. Go right ahead.
Well, one thing I was going to say is that, you know, when you're asking that question, is it that they committed the, you know, the suicide or these, school shootings because of the drugs or because of the underlying diagnosis or whatever? And we've always had whatever problems people have in life, those struggles. And we've actually had access to guns, actually fewer gun control laws, you know, decades ago. We didn't have this level of violence. We didn't have this kind of violence, this weird kind of violence. This is the stuff that comes when you alter somebody's mind. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, think about that. The guns have been around. People have had access to guns, and people have had, you know, mental struggles. But they weren't doing this. They weren't shooting up people in the schoolyard. So the change is the radical increase in psychiatric drugs, and particularly, you know, the last couple of decades since we got the direct-to-consumer advertising, which, by the way, is we're the only country in the world that has direct-to-consumer advertising of psychiatric drugs, that's TV commercials and print ads, and it is against a UN agreement. Like, we're the only country. We're in violation, you know, of a UN treaty when we do this direct-to-consumer advertising.
Well, I think it's a tragic situation, ladies and gentlemen. And I think the mental health of our people is being drastically altered by these mind-altering drugs. But I don't think they're altering the drugs for the better. And I think the fact that suddenly if you give people a sugar pill, well over 30% of them will feel better. I suddenly suggest that many of these studies that we have that tell how good these pills are already are totally fraudulent.
Yeah, they are. And since the money has for the psychiatric drugs is such a motivator, you know, just with the ADHD drugs, they went from, I think it was, 2007, there were $3 billion annual in sales of the stimulants for ADHD. And then in 2012, it went up to $9 billion. It tripled in just that five-year period. So there's very big money involved here, and the pharmaceutical industry is doing its job. It's a for-profit industry. Its goal is to get more and more customers. Its goal is to get lifelong customers. And it's moved to children, and it's moving to younger and younger kids. You know, I mentioned the fastest-growing age group on all psychiatric drugs is a birth to one-year-old, to 12, actually to just 12 months. And the second fastest is 2 to 5 year olds. We currently, in the U.S. alone, there are 1 million children under age 5 on psychiatric drugs. It's just mind-boggling. You can't imagine, like, what you would be putting a child on a psychiatric drug for. And then internationally, it's 9 million kids. It's in the anti-anxiety drugs, you know, Valium, Xanax, these kinds of things. They're from birth to 5 years old, one in every 31 kids is on an anti-anxiety drug. You know, from birth to 5 years old on Valium or Xanax for anxiety, one in 31 kids, that's an incredible statistic to think that we're doing that. And then what's happening, you know, childhood is when you learn to handle your emotions. That's when you struggle with temper tantrums and various things, and you have to struggle with that and get a handle on it, and you learn things and you start getting control of your emotions. But we're drugging kids and interfering with that kind of natural process.
Well, I think it's a tragic situation. Now, certainly, you hold a professorship, associate professor, clinical professor there at the University of California. Are universities aware of this? Are they speaking out against it? Or are they simply going along with this agenda? Well, let's give you another pill. If that one doesn't do any good, maybe you need another pill on top of it. It seems that this is the way so much in medicine is going today. What's happening at our universities is, are people speaking out at our universities about the danger of all of these medications?
Some are, and some are, and I think it's mixed. You know, most people would say that there's overdiagnosing and over-medicating. But I don't know that they're looking at it on the at the level that they need to be looking at it. You know, of the degrees. It's not a small problem. This is you're using the word tragic, and it is. This is a devastating tragedy. This is a very serious situation, and people need to wake up to it. When you are drugging 1 in 5 of the population, when you are drugging the military at the rate that we are and causing the disability that we are, this is a situation to wake up to. And so I don't think on the, you know, the university campuses, I don't think it's being looked at with the proper perspective. And, you know.
Well, but basically, of course, certainly you are a clinical psychologist, but basically it takes a lot of time to talk to people and try to find out what's going on with their minds. It's much easier just to give them a pill, isn't it? It's a lot faster.
It is. And, I think part of that is the, you know, from the advertising, it has shaped how people see themselves and what they expect when they go for help. People have been so, given this message that a pill is going to help them that they don't want to exercise. Exercise treats depression better than any of the SSRIs. The data on that, people do better just with exercise. No pill, no nothing, no therapy even. Just exercise. Physical exercise and lots of it. People do better. They recover from depression. Obviously better than on an SSRI. Those are the category of antidepressants that are very common now.
Well, if we get them on exercise and diet, why probably would be able to put a lot of companies out of business. Let's quickly go to Tom, who's calling us from upstate New York, because we're getting to the end of the program.
Sure.
Tom, does you have a question or comment?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Stan. The comment that I had is the medications, I believe, do help some people. I will agree that they're overused and people can be over-medicated, but my comment is they can allow people to work on other things.
All right. How would you respond to that, then?
Are you a therapist? Are you saying that medications can...
Excuse me? No, he's saying that he thinks that the psychiatric drugs can help some people and they can work.
Right, and he's saying that it allows them to work on other things. I'm not sure...
I can explain that. Just, you know, if somebody's having some problems, you know, maybe it will slow them down and, you know, limit them and stuff, you know, which... some people might think is bad, or the patient might not like it, but they're work on their spirituality or their cooking skills or learn to, you know, work on their anger.
Well, Sydney, I think that the one point that Dr. Lugerman brought up was the fact that certainly 32% of the patients who take a sugar pill will get better as well. Tom, I appreciate you calling so much, and I wish we had more time to develop the idea, but time, unfortunately, should have called earlier.
Well, all the things I'm suggesting can be done without treating a person.
Right. Okay, fine. Thank you very much, Tom, and Sydney, just hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment. Wrap up our program here. Our guest has been Dr. Linda Lugerman, and we've been talking about the overuse of psychiatric drugs. We'll be back in a moment.
Gold and silver is seriously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount gold and silver trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. Buy all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. We've succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. Classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for prostate support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I do hope you enjoyed, Sydney. Dr. Logelman was basically saying that the psychiatric benefits can be between 35% and 50%. And when you're actually testing how effective it is, when you're using the real drug rather than the placebo, most of them are less than 50%. So statistically, why these drugs do very little good if you compare them with a placebo. And yet, of course, they were giving this to tune of $300 billion a year for this pharmaceutical industry, these drugs. One in five Americans are on them, and many of them produce permanent changes in the brain, and you will never be able to get off of them. This is why you should never be on them in the first place. And I'm just so glad we had an opportunity to get talk to Dr. Logelman tonight, and we'll be having on our other programs. It's a message we need to get out. And we're going to be putting together, I think, a four-tape set on this subject so that you will be able to understand this and you'll be able to advise others. And certainly, if the psychiatrist, the psychologist wants to put you or someone in your family on these medications, you will certainly know what to say. This is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty, my ministry, is primarily listener-supported. We're really dependent upon those of you out there. And the listening audience, if you'd like to help us, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or get some of the products we have. Now, I would like to mention one excellent DVD we have. It's called Vaccines and Brain Development. It's the talk that Dr. Russell Blaylock gave when he was here at visiting lecturer at the conference. And basically, he talks there about the psychotics, people who are schizophrenic, and putting them onto a nutritional diet, and that would be fruits and vegetables, and basically how all of them cleared. And then when they put them back on the regular diet, how it all came back again. And this is something that is not talked about. Why? Why? Because, of course, it's very, very economical to put people onto a fruit and vegetable diet, and you don't make 300 and some odd billion dollars a year the way if people were not suddenly ill. And so if you were to use exercise and nutrition, why would we not need most of the psychiatric drugs that are in use today? So if you'd like to get certainly the Dr. Blaylock's excellent DVD, Vaccines and Brain Development, Vaccines and Brain Development, or you can get that by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we'd hope that many of you out there will want to get some of our other talks. We have a talk I gave called Agenda 21, the Covert Plan. That's Agenda 21, the Covert Plan. The talk I gave on population control, the secret agenda, and they really do intend to destroy the lives of large percentage of the population of the world. And we simply give you their statements, what they have said, and give you their documents to back it up. And then, of course, we do hope many of you would want to get our 4-CD set on the secret government, our 4-CD set on the secret societies. We have dozens of 4-CD and video sets. We have DVDs. We have all sorts of books. Right now, of course, we're moving into a real financial situation, and you need to know what to do. We have an excellent book called Meltdown, by Dr. Thomas Wood, who's a professional economist. We've interviewed him on a number of occasions. We have another book by Dr. Wood called Rollover. So basically, you can call 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and ask for Tom Wood's book on Meltdown, or the other one is Rollback. So this Meltdown, both of the books, well worthwhile reading. They're well written, and they'll give you some of the information on what's going on. Of course, if you haven't read Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, we have this. The Creature from Jekyll Island. We have certainly a 4-CD set on financial analysis. You need to understand what's going on. You need to make your preparations because 2014, I believe, is going to be a very, very disastrous year for many people out there who have not made proper preparations. Our number 1-800-544-8927.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here again, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And well, for the next hour, hopefully they're going to be the views of Donald Wilson. We've had Donald on before, talking about the origins of the concepts that led to America. Now, we live in a unique country, unlike any other in the world, and at one time we were the freest country, we were the most prosperous country. Suddenly in the 1950s, 1960s, we were making 50 to 60% of all the goods produced in the world. But America has changed because we've been taken over by some very wicked people who do not believe the basic tenets of our society. And most of what goes on in Washington, D.C. is frankly subversive and is aimed certainly at centralizing power with Washington, but that was not the original belief of America. The whole idea of America was to limit the power of the federal government and to have matters dealing with life and liberty and property dealt with at the state and the local level so the men could be free. And yes, you might have a tyrannical local government. You could always pick up, leave, and go to another state. But when you have a tyrannical central government, why then where will you go? And basically, unfortunately, we've lost the vision that created America. And Donald does a very, very good job of taking you into the background of the ideas that formed this great and wonderful nation we live in today. And what we need to do is understand their origin and reclaim those ideas. Donald, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you go ahead and give the background of your thoughts on the origins of the thought process and the concepts that made America once the envy of the world?
Well, the concept, what we teach in schools today is that everything comes from the Magna Carta and from England. And really, when I was in school and I started looking at these things, I noticed that my two favorite founders, Patrick Henry and Sam Adams, weren't English at all. One was Welsh, one was Scottish. And so that got me to doing a little bit more digging. And what I discovered is really, even though you look at Great Britain and we think we come from Great Britain, we really talk about England when we talk about Great Britain. And there's a huge difference between the two countries. And when you look at England and the way that it developed, England was conquered by the Romans. When the Romans left, their old mercenaries, the Saxons, came in, and then they conquered England. And then once the Saxons started to grow weaker than the Normans came in. So when you look, Great Britain did not grow up as a single culture. There was a culture in England that was very centralized, that's based on old Roman law, first it was the Caesar, and then it was just the most powerful man going down to the Normans. And you have top-down power structure that developed in England, and they ended up creating state churches. Everything in England was done from the top. Whereas if you look at the Celtic countries, what happened when these invaders...
It's important people understand the Celtic countries, or certainly Scotland and Wales and Ireland and perhaps one other, but go ahead.
And Devon and Cornwall. And so what happened is a lot of the original British inhabitants, they retreated from these invaders and created what the old author Russell Kirk called the Celtic fringe. And culture developed very differently in those countries where everything was devolved, everything was local. There was no state church. There was no top-down government. People basically ran their own lives. And one of the examples I like to point out is that in Scotland, there's not a single town whose name derives from a Latin origin. The Romans built Hadrian's Wall. They wanted nothing to do with these people because they fiercely defended their liberties.
And basically, of course, then they maintained the Roman dictatorship in England. But, of course, the Wall separated Scotland and the northern countries. Why? Because those people would accept the Roman rule. Those people wanted to be free. And the government was from bottom up rather than from the top down, as it was certainly in England. We'll be back in just a moment with Donald Wilson. Some very provocative ideas.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. Provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782.
And the winner of fallback pricing is... you. The results are in from Freeze Dry Guy's You Be the Boss, Tell Us What You Want Us to Put on Sale campaign. After getting phone calls, emails, blog, and Facebook comments nominating your favorite freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods, you the people, you the bosses have spoken. We the staff at Freeze Dry Guy have listened, as we've done since 1970. So now, one item and one entire line of food are on special sale until the end of October. The entire line of popular non-GMO and gluten-free foods are 20% off. The Family First Responders Kit, loaded with delicious freeze-dried foods like hearty beef stew, lasagna, and mouth-watering strawberries, is roughly 30% off. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com to order or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, and make your own deal. Thank you, boss.
Donald is pointing out that certainly in the Scottish countries, while they certainly wanted local control, they had their clans, and certainly the clans would elect their leader. The leaders then would get together of all the various clans, and they would elect a supreme leader, but basically the government was from the bottom up. Whereas in England, it was from the top down, certainly you had a king, and he got his authority usually from Rome. And then, of course, when Henry VIII, I guess, was, and of course he then did away with the relationship to Rome, because he wanted to have multiple wives, and he ended up having six wives. But then he then formed a separate religion. But in England, wife was always from the top down, with a ruler of one sort or another. Whereas, of course, certainly the whole idea of Scotland was that the people wanted to be free. And of course, in England, why the power then came not only from the king, but of the divine right of kings, he was given that by the Pope. Whereas certainly in Scotland, why it was an individual relationship with God, and men were intended to be free because God created the men. And so there was this personal relationship with God. There was the claim for freedom, entirely different in England, where everything came down to the higher authorities, where the church and state were one. But go right ahead.
Oh, so in Scotland, you have an elected king, and his job is to protect the rights of the people. It's not unlike in England, where the rights come from your king. In Scotland, the idea was that you elect the man most able to defend the rights that God gave you. And you see this battle down through the centuries that becomes very vicious. And they don't write about this in the history books anymore. They want you to think it's just the nationalist Scot versus the nationalist English. But it's not that way at all. You have a completely different theory of government in the Celtic countries. And eventually what happens, we all know our founders were called Whigs, but when I was a student in class, I always said, well, what's a Whig? And nobody knew. Well, the Whig was, is you were the person who did not support divine right monarchy. And if you were a Tory Englishman, you looked down on it. So a Whig is a racial slur against the Scots. It's kind of funny to think that we teach in schools today that our government came from the English, when the very word for the party was a racial slur against the Scots. It was the poorest country in Europe, and if you were a cattle thief there, it was a real insult to be a cattle thief in a very poor country, and that's where the word comes from, out of the old Gaelic. So the very word itself tells us that that ideology did not come from England at all. And so as they believe that they only answer to God and not to a king, you see these wars come through. And by the time the Bruce family loses the throne and the Stuart family tries to take the throne, you've got a whole series of battles that take place where the Stuarts are trying to implement divine right monarchy in Edinburgh the way it is in London. And the whole history of England and Scotland, the underlying story is this idea of compact Calvinism against the divine right monarchs and the state churches. And so by the time you follow the immigrations over here to this country, that's why you see the very first amendment in the Bill of Rights is no state church. Because in France and Italy and Spain and Portugal, the state church was Catholic. In England, it was Anglican. And when the Anglicans could not take over the church in Scotland because Presbyterianism was too devolved in presbyteries, that's when they created the Episcopal Church and tried to oppose Episcopal Church on the Scots, because they wanted a state church in Scotland that they could control from London. And out of this whole battle comes what will be the Episcopals on one side and the Presbyterians on the other. And I think people get confused with terms. So if you talk about Presbyterian, Ulster Scot, Whig, Scotch-Irish, those are all the same people. Whereas on the other side, you talk about Episcopal, Tory, centralized divine right monarchy, those are the people on the other side. And by the time you get to the United States with the immigrations of these different groups that come over, you see the exact same divide at the time of the founding of our country that existed in Scotland from the 1450s all the way through the 1700s.
And I think that's really fascinating, and I think Donald is absolutely right. Certainly this is not widely taught, but he's worked this, and he's done a lot of research on it. And basically it is. He's absolutely right. England was always top down, Scotland and the Ireland. They want wanted to be free. They did not want a central authority, and that was what the wars were always about. Of course, the English using deceit or one under the king would always, by one means or another, try to oppress the Scots. Actually, right now, the Scotland is actually going to have a vote there in Scotland asking to withdraw from England. They do not want the central authority in London. They want it to be in Edinburgh where it belongs. But go right ahead.
Well, so what you see is in our history books, they would teach us that just suddenly one day a Boston Massacre happened, and then by 1776 we declare our independence, as if this just accidentally happened out of nowhere. But if you actually go back and you look at the history of Scotland rather than just going back to Magna Carta, what you have is in 1776, it's a continuation of a fight that was happening as early as 1725, and that in and of itself was a result of what happened in 1688. So when we look at our history books, we hear glorious revolution, William and Mary came to the throne, and there was no bloodletting. Not completely true. There were still some battles, but what's significant about 1688 and the Glorious Revolution and the resulting British, not just the English Bill of Rights that they teach in schools, but the British Bill of Rights that was in 1689, is for the first time you really see the Scottish ideology put a king on the English throne, because in 1603 you had a combining of the crowns, and so you no longer have two separate kingships, one in London, one in Edinburgh. Well, in 1689, what happened is William is basically elected king in London. His wife has some authority to take that because of who her father was. But William and Mary are significant not because it was a bloodless revolution the way we teach. What was significant about that is William agreed to take the throne that was in London with conditions on his kingship. That is completely the tradition of compact that Robert the Bruce took the throne under. So what you have in William of Orange is you have the first compact king of England, not just of in Scotland. And Mary, by accepting conditions on her queenship, even though she has some blood relationship, she is now also by compact. So William and Mary are the first compacted monarchs of Britain. And that's when he brings religious freedom. That's the reason why so many of the Scots and the Presbyterians were called Orange men, is because William of Orange quit murdering people if they were Calvinist. And so that's what you see in the British Bill of Rights, and that's what we should call it because it did pass in Scotland. It wasn't just an English Bill of Rights. And out of that fight, you see several things come along. So when we see John Locke writing in 1690, the two treaties of government, that's very timely right after William and Mary. But if you look at the first page of his book, he's answering Robert Filmer, who wrote in 1624. Well, Robert Filmer is answering George Buchanan. And George Buchanan in the 1580s was there with John Knox, there with Andrew Melville, there with making sure Mary, Queen of Scots, could not put a divine right Stuart monarchy in Edinburgh. And they said, you have the right to kill any prince who violates your rights and oppresses you. So Filmer says, no, you don't. John Locke, when he's writing in 1690, he is explaining for the English the argument that all the Scots had understood for centuries that George Buchanan had written back in 1580. But this ideology after the 1640s and 1680s is just making its way to England. So if you understand that and then understand the emigration that came to the United States, you've got Andrew Fletcher who comes you're going to have a union of parliaments in 1707, and Andrew Fletcher sees this coming, and he's the greatest Scottish patriot. Well, he sees that Scotland's going to be swallowed up by England, and so he comes out with all of these proposals that, if you're an American, will sound very familiar, and you'll wonder why you were never heard of them in school. He doesn't want Scotland's sovereignty to be lost, and at the time, there's this idea of the universal monarch in continental Europe. France and Spain are fighting to rule the world under a world government. The French monarch wants to be the head of that world government. The Spanish monarch wants to be head of that world government. Well, the people in the British Isles still want to have their sovereignty. So Fletcher puts together a plan. He says, what we need is a well-regulated militia. The strength of our people have always been that they've been bearing arms. So Fletcher puts together a plan for common defense for the British Isles, in which Scotland will have a militia, Wales will have a militia, England and Ireland will each have their own militias. And then whenever there's a common enemy coming from the continent to try and impose this universal monarch on them, they will be able to all defend their sovereignty by coming together in a common defense. It's not real hard to see that when these people emigrate to the United States and teach this philosophy at the log colleges across the American colonies, that, wow, that's where we get the term well-regulated militia. That's where we get the idea of the right to keep and bear arms. That's where we get the idea of a confederation of states coming together to have the power of defense of all of us rather than each state trying to defend itself against a giant power.
And I think it's so interesting. You mentioned John Locke and his writing. Basically, of course, John Locke's writings in many respects were the very foundation of America, because, of course, John Locke had written about all men being created equal. And basically, there were so many of the ideas that John Locke had that were picked up by Thomas Jefferson, and you'll find that exactly Lockean words, John Locke's words, in our Declaration of Independence. Most people don't understand that Jefferson got his ideas from Locke. He was writing there in the 1600s. We go right ahead.
Yeah, well, John Locke, he was very much, loved the Scottish ideas. If you understand who John Locke was, he was the tutor to the first Earl of Shaftesbury's children, and Anthony Cooper was the first Earl of Shaftesbury. Anthony Cooper is interesting in the fact that he fell in love with this idea of compact government, so he helped Cromwell come to power.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here, looking at the origins of the American ideas, which we're losing today.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit and call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if it's citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent, the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9696.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
This is Dr. Stan. Of course, Donald is really giving us the background of the ideas which became the foundation of our society. And these ideas are coming out of Scots Presbyterianism, that we were unique creations of God, and for that reason we could be free. Now, certainly if you had the English philosophy, why, you had a king. That was the way it has always been. And you were ruled from the top down. But the Scots ideas, certainly, and the Presbyterian ideas, where we were each unique creations, and because we were unique creations of God, we could govern ourselves. And so this was these ideas certainly brought to America. And so Donald was just saying that certainly Witherspoon had been actually a gentleman who had been over in England, and he was talked to coming to America to become the president of Princeton University. And then, of course, when America was created as an independent nation, he was one of those people who was involved with the setting up of our government based upon these ideas of limiting the power of government, because actually government got its power from the people. It did not get government the power from above by the king or by the papacy or by the religious organization. The religious organizations were a personal matter. They were not part and parcel of government. So go right ahead, Donald.
Well, so John Witherspoon at Princeton, 11 of the men at the Constitutional Convention had graduated from Princeton. And he teaches absolutely everything about the Whig theory and why it works, and all the errors of Greece and Rome. I mean, when we're talking about the curriculum that the founders went through, a lot of them knew Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. And they studied these old histories. And the whole point of studying this was they didn't want to repeat the mistakes of history. And so Witherspoon ends up affecting the entire country. And you know, people might want to debate about that, but this is one of the things that I use to show. When the British first got upset and they started burning effigies of Americans, there was only one American civilian who was burned in effigy, and that was John Witherspoon. The British, based in London, so yes, that's Britain by now, but it's still predominantly English, they hated Presbyterianism. And so they burned John Witherspoon in effigy. They blamed him for the revolution. I know we don't teach that in history books anymore, but there's actually a letter to the editor to a New York paper in 1775, and the person says, "I blame this all on the Presbyterians." And when the British army comes into New York, the main Whig family in New York is the Livingstons. Well, the British Army finds the Livingstons Presbyterian Church, and they go up and they saw the steeple off this church, and then they move their horses in and make it not a barracks for men, but a stable for their cavalry horses. That's what they're using the Presbyterian Church for. And the son of the British Prime Minister, in a jab at John Witherspoon, says, "Well, America's run off with the Presbyterian parson, and that is the end of it." So while this might be new for Americans hearing this today, this was not new. This was known. At the time of the Revolution, the English blamed all of this on a bunch of what they considered backwoods, rabble-rousing Celtic people, whether they be Welsh or Scotch-Irish or anything else. And, so you can't underestimate or you can't overestimate the influence that Witherspoon had on the founding generation. And, you know, it's nice to take anecdotes and quotes like that from the people that I just did, but this to me is so telling, and it's not in any book that I know of other than the book that I wrote, is that every single major proposal, constitutional convention, with the exception of the three-fifths clause, because being Presbyterians and believing in equality, they wouldn't have believed in the three-fifths clause. Every single major proposal is proposed by a graduate of Princeton, an Orangeman, a Scotch-Irishman. So when you look at the New Jersey plan, it's William Patterson from the Princeton area that gives you the New Jersey plan. When you look at the Virginia plan, it was proposed or was written by James Madison, one of John Witherspoon's students, and it was proposed by Edmund Randolph. When you look at the Connecticut Compromise, it was proposed by Oliver Ellsworth, a graduate of Princeton. It was an Episcopalian like James Wilson that proposed the three-fifths clause in the convention. So when you look at it, our entire government and everything that we believe in as far as freedom and liberty and protecting the right of the individual comes from these Princeton graduates, even enumerated powers. When you look at enumerated powers, and this is where you start to see the genius of James Madison, and he was Witherspoon's greatest protege. The way Madison came up with enumerated powers is that Witherspoon had said in a lecture, you can never enumerate people's rights because you'll always forget some. And then when you forget those other rights, then you compromise them. You don't give them all their rights. So Witherspoon inverted that, or Madison inverted that, said, wait a minute, if you can limit people's rights by enumerating them, you can limit the power of government by enumerating government's powers. So even enumerated powers come from a Witherspoon lecture and what he taught James Madison.
And of course, all powers not specifically herein given under the Constitution to Congress are to be limited to the states and the people, the foundation of our freedom.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people believe that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. McGrath and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8997 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our nutritional needs. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782. Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
taking us through the various events that took place when they were trying to get the Constitution ratified, and certainly the major states, Virginia and New York, didn't want to ratify it, and they could be sure that the power of the central government would be certainly limited. And as far as Virginia was concerned, they demanded that people have the right to keep and bear arms, realizing, of course, this was the key to maintaining certainly freedom. Now, before we go on, Donald, and I do want to go on, but I do want you to tell listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can get a copy of your book.
Okay. My book is St. Andrew's American Revolution, and you can find it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, any of the major outlets. If anybody wants to email me a question or get a hold of me for anything, my email address is Donald, middle initials E, so it's Donald E. Wilson at yahoo.com. Be happy to discuss.
No, oh, you always give your email twice.
Okay. Donald E. Wilson at yahoo.com.
And once again, the title of your book.
And the title of the book is St. Andrew's American Revolution, the story of England and her sons and the genius of American government.
St. Andrew's American Revolution. And basically, you'll find this. Type in Amazon, St. Andrew's American Revolution, and go right ahead.
Okay. So as you look at different amendments, the same suspects keep coming up in what ends up becoming the Bill of Rights. So if you look at the Second Amendment, it's New Hampshire, which was a center of Scotch-Irish settlement, North Carolina, Virginia, and New York is not a center of Scotch-Irish settlement. But what happens in New York, the Dutch and the Scots get together and form a coalition to make sure that the English don't control the New York government, even though the English are the majority of settlers and New York is a Tory stronghold. But you see the same thing in the First Amendment. New Hampshire, North Carolina, and Virginia, they demand that there be no state church. It's not an accident that they have a strong Scottish settlement. When you look at the Third Amendment, New Hampshire, North Carolina, and Virginia again, and the Fourth Amendment was North Carolina and Virginia. Virtually, the whole Bill of Rights is these Scottish colonies coming forward and saying, we remember what happened in the past. We will not accept compromises that will threaten our liberty. We want these amendments. And as you go through amendments 1 through 10, 9 of them are all demands from Scotch-Irish colonies. We will not ratify the Constitution unless we get these guarantees for our liberties. And the reason why there's only 9 of the 10 are from Scotch-Irish colonies is, remember that Madison was the brilliant architect that put this together. So the Ninth Amendment is strictly Madison and what he learned at Princeton. So if you go back and you remember that it was in a Witherspoon lecture that he said, if you enumerate people's liberties, you thereby limit the people's freedoms in general because you won't remember everything that they're allowed to do. And that's where Madison came up with the enumerated powers, is that he then listed government's powers and government that way. Well, if you read the Ninth Amendment, it says the enumeration in the Constitution or certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. This is purely Madison safeguarding us even when we don't know that we need to be safeguarded. He's lifting that right out of John Witherspoon's lecture and saying, hey, these 10 amendments in no way are enumerating people's rights. These 10 amendments are just ones where we're going to guarantee liberty, but these are not the limits of people's liberties. And so, you see the influence of Princeton, you see the influence of John Witherspoon, and you see the influence of the Presbyterian Whig ideology. And it's only after Madison then says, okay, I see where you're going. I will sponsor a Bill of Rights in the first Congress, that these other states finally start to ratify. That's when Massachusetts goes, New Hampshire goes, and then Virginia, New York, and North Carolina. So not only were the ideas present in the colonies at the time, we can show that those ideas were spread through a network of schools, and then that those people were at the Constitutional Convention and put the separation of powers and other things in, and they didn't just stop there. When it got back to their home colonies, these were the people that said, still not enough, still need to limit the government more. I still trust in God to be the head of my life and not some would-be dictator, some guy who has delusions of grandeur. We learned from Caesar. We learned from all the way from Caesar to Napoleon. Well, Napoleon came after them, so that would be a bad example. But, you know, all these dictators that had happened and always sought to control other people's lives, these people from the Celtic countries were never conquered by those empires and never bought into that idea.
And what a unique idea, certainly. We know all the details we know about John Locke and the others, but putting this all together certainly into a pattern where people can actually see how the ideas in America were so different certainly than in England. England was always a nation with a king. Scotland and the others wanted certainly no king at all, but wanted it to be ruled by the people with individual rights, certainly where our rights came from God. And that was really the key to the whole thing, wasn't it, Donald?
That's absolutely it. If you boil it down, it's pretty much just like the rest of history. It's those who believe in liberty versus those who want to control the lives of others. And that's exactly what you see in this country today. Do you want to be able to live freely, or do you think the government should be able to have its nose in your business across the board?
And that is, of course, why they had to say God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. That is why they certainly infiltrated the religious seminaries, Protestant and Catholic, and certainly changed the message and the music of our churches, because they had to destroy this Christian foundation of our nation. I think it was Adams or Madison, I've forgotten which, but said, those will not be ruled by God, will be ruled by tyrants. I think it was Adams. Those will not be ruled by God, will be ruled by tyrants. And that's why they want to take God out, because there are tyrants there that want to establish a dictatorship. And if you doubt that there really are secret cabals out there, you need to get David Rockefeller's book, Memoir. We carry his book, written by David Rockefeller, where he talks about the secret cabal that he's part of, that's working against the best interests of the United States, conspiring with others around the world to bring about a more integrated global political and economic structure. Ladies and gentlemen, those are his words, not mine. And if that's true, why don't you ever hear about them? Well, Glenn Beck did have the courage to bring it out one time on his radio program just before they got rid of him. And now, of course, he has his own network. He's not about to dare to bring that up. Or suddenly he would find difficulty at being able to get his information out at all. Basically, if you tell the truth, you're going to get into real trouble. Glenn Beck did get into trouble. He's compromised his position since that time. We keep talking about this, though, because you cannot understand what's going on today. And as you understand, there really is a move to bring about a dictatorship in America. And we know who these people are because they belong to the secret cabal that David Rockefeller describes in his own book. That's his word, not mine. He describes a secret cabal. Go right ahead, Donald.
Well, hitting on that point, I point out to people that it's not coincidental that the most oppressive government of all, communism, where they control every aspect of your life. One of the main ideas that Karl Marx had was that religion is the opiate of the masses. In order for government to control every aspect of your life, you have to be weak enough to depend on it. And one of the problems is that the people that are devout aren't weak enough to need to depend on government. And I think that's why you see this clear line of delineation through history. Even though it's not explained that way in the history books, because it would be too easy to see today, is that it really is about those people who want to live freely and depend on themselves versus those people who are perfectly willing to be slaves. I mean, when I did my thesis, and most people say, well, that should be your second book then. When I did my thesis, one of the things that I noticed, and I think this is the problem with continental Europe and the reason why they're so socialist, is for 2,000 years, they've been slaves. They were first the slaves of the Roman Empire, and you go through all the empires that have existed in Europe. These people for 2,000 years have been conditioned to be slaves. Whereas if you look at the Celtic countries and the Scandinavian countries that never fell, northern Germany, because by then you have the defeat of the Teutoburg Forest, the immigrants who came here, whether they were Palatinate Germans or whether they were Scottish Presbyterians or Welsh Baptists or Swedes, they all came from countries that had not been defeated by the Roman Empire. And what you see now in America today is more and more of these people from these other countries that they have always learned that government will provide for them and that government will keep them safe and that government will be their advocate. And so this is the same fight that's been going on since our forefathers left the Celtic countries 200 years ago, 300 years ago, if they got here early enough. In the case of my family, almost 400 years ago. But this is exactly what we see. What's growing in America today is the growth of the European ideology. We used to know why we didn't want to be Europeans, and now we don't know that anymore. And that's exactly what our problem is.
And that's the problem is, of course, that they've taken over control of our universities. They've taken over control of the publishing houses. And so you're never really going to get the truth and understand really the foundations of the freedom in America, which is being rapidly lost today. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have a question or comment for our guest, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Our guest, Donald Wilson, our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hey, Donald, the trouble is that most Americans want to be free, but they don't understand freedom. They don't understand what's happening. They don't understand that there's an organized effort to centralize power in Washington, D.C. in violation of the concepts which are laid out in our Constitution, which is still the law of our land.
So, you know, when people don't know what's going on, I think they're amazed, because I would maintain that the revolution started long before 1776. And most people will look at you and they'll say, well, why do you think that? I said, okay, we all know about the Boston Massacre, right? When did that happen? 1770. And we think, oh, that was the first one. Well, 2 months before the Boston Massacre in New York, troops fired on people that were protesting in New York City. This wasn't just something that accidentally happened in Boston. It's just the people in Boston happened to write it down. But in New York City, where they were dominated by Tories, but I guess maybe they don't remember it as much because the people sided with the British troops. But you have three major riots in 1770. You have one at Princeton, you have one in New York, you have one in Boston. And that wasn't even the beginning. As early as 1764 in the backcountry of North Carolina, you have the Regulator War, and these people are fighting against unfair taxation that's being implemented by the people that control the government on the coastal towns of North Carolina. So you've got open combat in North Carolina in 1764. Also in 1764, you have an army of Scotch-Irishmen that march on Philadelphia, and they're ready to burn Philadelphia to the ground because the Penns run a proprietary colony. The Penns in Pennsylvania had more authority than the king in London. They could raise taxes without any vote of the assembly because it was a proprietary colony. And so you actually have an army marching on Philadelphia at the same time that there's an open war in North Carolina. And this is 1764. We're talking 12 years before the Declaration of Independence. And then by the time you get to 1772, the people there are burning a customs schooner outside of Warwick, Rhode Island. And that's actually where we get a lot of our ideas for jury trial, because the king knows that a Presbyterian Whig jury in the United States is not going to convict the people that burned the British ship. And so he wants all of them shipped to England, where they can be tried in front of a jury of Tories. And that's one of the reasons why you see in our Bill of Rights that you have to be tried in front of a jury of your peers. So these people are burning ships, they're firing on redcoats, and it's not just it was coincidental that it happened in 1770 and the riot in New York. These people stood in front of the guns of the British soldiers, and they just looked and they said, fire and be damned. Well, that happens in North Carolina too. And this is not a time of fax machines and Twitter and YouTube. So this is a movement that's nationwide, because down in North Carolina, a year later, these people stand in front of the redcoats again, and they look in there and say, fire and be damned. I mean, there's very much a religious sense to this, that we are on God's side and we are fighting against the tyrant. And whether you go from 1764 in the Regulator War to the 1770 riots to the burning of schooners in the early 70s, all the way through to Lexington and Concord in 1775, you're talking about open warfare for over a decade before the Declaration of Independence is ever issued.
And these are parts of the history that most people have never heard of. Do you cover that in your treatise?
I do. I basically, St. Andrew's American Revolution, I start with the first question I would have asked as a reader of, well, if this was the history, why don't we know it? So I take a, I take everybody from, this is the reason why you don't know this, and then I follow it from Scotland, the Declaration of Arbroath and everything, all the way through to showing the emigration in the United States and the settlement patterns in the United States and how that affected when ratification came up and where these people went to school and why they thought the things that they did and the influence of Witherspoon. And it, there is a direct correlation between Celtic immigrants and the opposition to government in North Carolina, inbound South Carolina, Virginia, New Hampshire, even in Massachusetts, ironically, because if you look at Massachusetts, it's a real strange area because Massachusetts was Congregationalist. It was a bunch of English Calvinists rather than the Scottish Calvinists that were Presbyterians. And so they based their government on the Congregational idea of representation. So in the case of Massachusetts, what you have happen, even though there's not that many Scotch-Irish settlers there, any settlement is like a congregation. So any settlement gets a vote in the state assembly out in Boston. So what happens is all these people go to the backwoods, and even though they're not the majority of the population, they all set up their own little settlement. So if Boston's got a couple of votes because it's got a couple thousand people, this settlement out there with 20 people still gets a vote because it's a settlement. And so these people end up overpowering the Tory types that are in Boston and the more reserved types. So even in a state where they're not the majority, they end up gaining control of the legislature. And that the strongest example of that is in New York. I mean, and when I was a student, I used to always wonder, well, if New York is such a big colony, why does it send only three delegates to the Constitutional Convention? The answer is very simple. The Clintons, who were a Scotch-Irish family, they did not want Alexander Hamilton to have any influence in the Constitution and its writing. So what they did is they sent two of their lieutenants, Lansing and Yates, to make sure that there would always be two orange man votes to cancel out and make sure that Alexander Hamilton was never the guy to speak for New York. And so the reason why New York has only three representatives is to make sure that New York went the orange man's way.
All right, fine. Well, of course, our guest has been David Donald Wilson, and basically it's a fascinating approach to our American history. We must understand where we came from if we hope to maintain any semblance of freedom here in America. Freedom is under attack. There is a secret cabal who runs certainly both political parties, controls the media and the banks. They're all in it together, ladies and gentlemen. The ultimate goal is tyranny and dictatorship.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope you enjoyed the meeting, the discussion with Donald Wilson. I think he's done some phenomenal work, and I think he's absolutely right. The idea that our freedoms came from the English was not true. They had a different form of government than the Scots did, and certainly so many of these people in Scotland really believed in the whole ideas that John Locke put forward, that all men are created equal, that certainly we get our rights from God, and suddenly these concepts that there is one God, that God is the foundation of our freedom. These ideas put forward by Thomas Jefferson, I know, two or three generations later in the Declaration of Independence, and most people never ask, where did these ideas come from? These were not primarily with Jefferson. He was repeating simply the writings of certainly of men like Locke and others who believed in this ethereal concept of freedom. And we are internally dedicated to Thomas Jefferson for his views, but also remember what Thomas Jefferson had said, and those words are certainly chiseled there in the white marble of the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. He said, God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. But can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. And I want you to memorize those words, and I want you to understand that we are going to be coming under God's judgment, I fear, very, very soon, unless, of course, there are enough people who really will take a stand for freedom. Will we be able to accomplish that? I do not know. But my job is to get the information to you. And your job is to get the information to others. And as people begin to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, hopefully we're going to have some effect as we move into a time of turmoil. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I honestly believe a time of turmoil is coming in this next year or two. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read my book, you need to get it. That's 1-800-544-8927. The book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We hope maybe you'll want to get the DVD. You can get the DVD, the CD. The book together is the Brotherhood of Darkness special. Makes an excellent Christmas present if you'd like to send it out. We have certainly, if you care for other people, why don't you consider getting them from our 14? CD sets or 4 tape sets, some of our DVDs. We have all sorts of wonderful DVDs. We have, we talked about this last hour, one by Dr. Russell Blaylock on vaccines and brain development. The danger that vaccines do to our brains and actually the effect of a proper diet on schizophrenia. Things you're never going to hear through regular channels. That's vaccines and brain development. And certainly, you certainly would want to get my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan or population control, the covert agenda. These things are all there. We think they're vitally important, and we hope that you'll help us to get this information out across America. And basically, of course, we hope that you'll tell others about Radio Liberty and encourage them to listen to our programs and hopefully join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because, quite frankly, I need financial help to maintain our network of stations. We have actually two or three networks we do in the afternoon, two networks we do in the evening. But it's all an expensive proposition. We can't do it without your help. And as the year is drawing to a close, we would certainly like at least to be able to break even for this year. Remember, Barbara and I do not take salaries. We do what we do because we love America and because we hope we'll have an impact upon people's lives and thinking. And will we be able to change the course that we're on? Well, only if God wants it, and God is not going to honor America unless, of course, there is certainly a great revival in America. But we hope that perhaps with some of the things we say, some of the information we bring may actually help people to understand that we were involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. If you have any question what it's about, you need to get David Rockefeller's book, Memoirs. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927.
Beside her.